All right, imagine this. You're on trial for murder. It's the worst thing you could imagine. And later you find out, well, the prosecution, they had a confession the whole time. Someone else confessed.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything. That's pretty much what happened in Brady v. Maryland. This case, it basically changed how criminal trials work. So today, we're gonna dive into Brady v. Maryland, look at what happened and why it still matters so much,
yeah,
even all these years later.
You know what's really interesting about Brady? Is that it goes way beyond this one case. It makes us think about this basic question. Does winning a case mean the prosecution can hide information that could help someone accused, even if it doesn't completely clear their name?
Yeah, it really gets to the heart of our justice system, doesn't it? We're not just talking about who wins or loses a case. We're talking about whether the whole process is fair. So let's go back to the beginning. We've got John Brady and Charles Boblett, both convicted of murder. Brady admitted he was involved, but said that Boblett was the one who actually did it, pulled the trigger. And then, surprise, a confession from Boblett appears, but this is after Brady's already been sentenced.
Right. And that's what took this case all the way to the Supreme Court. But before we get there, we need to understand how this all went down in the Maryland courts first. Brady was originally sentenced to death. But when Boblett's confession came out, well, it got messy.
Hold on. If there's a confession from somebody else saying they did the murder, why didn't they just throw out Brady's whole conviction?
Well, it's like this. Maryland's legal system, it's kind of unique. Juries there, they decide both the law and the facts of the case. So the Maryland Court of Appeals, they said the hidden confession, it really only affected the sentencing, not whether Brady was guilty or not. They figured, okay, he was part of the crime, so he's still guilty. But maybe the death penalty? Well, that wasn't the right punishment.
So they have a new trial. But just to figure out the punishment, not to reconsider his guilt. That's a pretty strange distinction, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it gets to the heart of what Brady is all about. The Supreme Court had to decide, did hiding this confession, even if the prosecution thought they were doing the right thing, did it violate Brady's right to due process?
And when we say due process, what does that really mean?
Think of it like the foundation of fairness in our legal system. It's the promise that the government can't just come in and take away your life, liberty, or property without following the rules. You have a right to a fair chance to defend yourself.
So basically, in this case, the question is, did withholding evidence that could have helped Brady, even if the prosecution didn't think it proved he was innocent, did that violate his right to a fair trial?
Exactly. And the Supreme Court said, yes, absolutely. This is where we get the Brady rule. The idea that prosecutors have to turn over any evidence that could help the person accused, even if it doesn't prove they didn't do it. It's about making sure the defense has all the pieces of the puzzle.
So, like, the prosecution can't just hide evidence, even if they think they have an open and shut case.
Right. And the court didn't stop there. They said this evidence also has to be material to the case, meaning it could have reasonably changed what happened at the trial. But that word material, well, it's not always so simple.
That's where things get complicated, right? How do you know if evidence is material enough that it could have changed the jury's decision? Where's the line?
That's a question lawyers still debate today. But in Brady's case, the Supreme Court said the confession they hid was definitely material because it could have led the jury to give him a less severe punishment.
So it's not just about proving someone innocent. It's about making sure the punishment fits the crime with all the facts out in the open.
Exactly. And the court's reasoning went beyond just what happened in this case. They were setting a basic rule for justice, building on earlier cases that said things like, using false testimony to get a conviction was wrong.
So they wanted to make sure things were fair, not just giving the prosecution an advantage. But I'm guessing not everyone on the Supreme Court agreed with this, right?
You're right. Not everyone agreed. There were some who disagreed. Justices White, Harlan, and Black, they thought the ruling, well, it should have focused more on Maryland's unusual jury system. They weren't exactly against sharing evidence that could help the defendant, but they thought this whole due process idea, well, it was a bit much.
That's interesting. So we have this big decision. The Brady rule is born.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this actually work in courtrooms today? I mean, why should anyone who isn't a lawyer even care about a case from 1963?
Well, that's the big question, right? Brady v. Maryland didn't just make a rule. It changed what it means to be a prosecutor. Before Brady, they were mostly seen as, well, just trying to win, focused on getting that conviction. Brady changed that. It said they're ministers of justice. They have a duty to make sure the trial's fair, even if it means their case might be weaker.
So it's not just about putting people in jail. It's about finding the truth, whatever that is. and making sure the process is fair.
Yeah, exactly. And Brady's impact goes way beyond 1963. Later cases, like United States v. Bagley in 1985, they expanded on this idea of Brady disclosure. Bagley said prosecutors have to disclose evidence that could be helpful, even if the defense hasn't specifically asked for it.
Wow. So they can't just wait for the defense to ask. They have to be proactive and hand over anything that could help.
Exactly. It puts a real responsibility on prosecutors. They have to look at their cases carefully and see if there's any information that might help the defendant, even if it makes their own arguments less strong.
Okay, so I get how this is important for lawyers. But for those of us who aren't legal experts, how does this actually change how trials work?
Well, imagine a trial is like a game with rules to make sure things are fair. Brady added a really important rule. Let's say the prosecution has a witness who says they saw the defendant at the crime scene. But they also know this witness has lied before or has told different stories in the past.
So even though that doesn't directly prove the defendant didn't do it, it could make people doubt the prosecution's main witness.
Exactly. And with Brady, the prosecution can't just ignore that information. They have to tell the defense, whether they think it's a big deal or not. The defense can then use that information to question the witness, maybe even bring in other witnesses to say the opposite.
So it's about making sure both sides have all the information.
Exactly. It's about being transparent and making sure both sides can see all the same evidence. And remember, it's not just about revealing things that prove someone innocent. It's about anything that could be material to the case, meaning it could have reasonably changed the outcome, even if it's just about how harsh the punishment might be.
So let's say the prosecution has evidence that shows the defendant had a reason to commit the crime. But they also have evidence that gives the defendant a strong alibi. They can't just cherry-pick the evidence that supports their case, right? They have to hand over everything.
That's right. It's not the prosecution's job to decide what's important. They have to turn over anything that might help the defendant, even if it seems small at first.
That's a lot of responsibility for prosecutors. Yeah. They have to be super careful and objective.
Absolutely. And it's not always easy. There's a lot of debate about how to use Brady in real life. Like, for instance, there's that whole question of materiality. Where's the line between something that might help the defense and something that could have actually changed the whole trial?
Right, because it's not always so clear-cut.
Exactly. There's a lot of gray area, and that's where it gets tricky. We call this the Brady test. It's a three-part checklist to see if there's been a Brady violation.
Okay, I'm listening. Tell me about this Brady test.
The first part, the evidence has to be favorable to the person accused, meaning it helps their case in some way. Second, it has to have been kept hidden by the prosecution on purpose or even by accident. And third, it has to be material to whether the defendant is guilty or what their punishment is, meaning it could have realistically changed the outcome of the trial.
So it's not enough that the evidence exists somewhere. It has to have been hidden by the prosecution. And it has to be important enough to possibly change the whole trial.
You got it. And proving all three of those things can be really hard. There's often debate about whether something was really suppressed or if it was material enough to really matter.
So Brady v. Maryland wasn't just one decision. It opened up a whole bunch of legal questions that lawyers are still arguing about today.
That's a great way to put it. And that's what makes this case so interesting to study and talk about. It's not just history. It's a legal idea that's still alive. And it keeps shaping how we think about fairness and justice.
It's incredible how a case from 1963 can still be causing so much debate today. But this whole materiality thing, it seems like there could be a lot of different ways to interpret that, right? Could it be used to help the prosecution, even if they don't mean to?
That's a really good point, and it's something legal experts disagree on. Some say that this materiality standard gives prosecutors too much power. They might decide to be extra careful and hold back evidence, even if they're not sure if it's really material, just to avoid a Brady violation later.
So it could actually give the prosecution an advantage, even if that's not what they're trying to do.
Exactly. And that makes us think about the balance of power in the criminal justice system. Does the Brady rule, as it is now, really do enough to make sure the accused person gets a fair trial?
It makes you think. So Brady v. Maryland isn't just some random legal detail. It goes right to the heart of what we think a fair and just system should be, right?
Absolutely. And it shows this constant struggle between the prosecution's job to get convictions and their equally important job to be fair and protect the rights of the accused. It's a difficult balance that keeps changing as new cases and interpretations come up.
This is all so interesting. But what about the defense attorneys? Where do they fit into all of this? What's their role in making sure Brady is followed?
Well, that's a crucial part of all this. You know, the defense attorneys, they have a big responsibility to be proactive. They can't just sit there and expect the prosecution to just hand everything over.
So both sides have to work to make sure all the important information is out in the open.
Exactly. Brady v. Maryland made it clear both the prosecution and the defense have to work to make sure the trial is fair. It's a shared job that keeps the whole system working right.
It sounds like Brady v. Maryland isn't just some legal technicality. It has real effects on how trials are run, how lawyers do their jobs, and in the end, how justice is served.
That's right. It shows us that our legal system, it's always changing. New cases pop up, new interpretations come along, and our idea of what a fair trial means, it keeps getting more refined.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot today, from the details of Brady v. Maryland to how it affects the whole legal system. It's clear that this case, even though it's from 1963, it's still making waves when it comes to justice.
It definitely is, and it shows that pursuing justice, it's a never-ending thing. It takes constant work, critical thinking, and being open to questioning things, and always trying to make the system fairer for everyone involved.
Well said. This deep dive has given us all a lot to think about. But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought, something to chew on. Does the Brady rule as it is right now really do enough to make sure things are fair? Could it be better? Could it be changed to make justice more balanced? What do you think?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? It's something legal experts are still wrestling with. There's always room to make things better. And as we learn more about fairness and due process, our legal systems should change too.
Yeah, it's a conversation that needs to keep going. We hope everyone keeps looking into this interesting and complex case and how it's still shaping our quest for a more just and fair society. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Brady v. Maryland.